Gospel chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. And here Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Lord, we thank you today that we have the opportunity to assemble here and worship in spirit and in truth. We ask you this morning, Lord, that you might take the Word of God and let the Spirit of God penetrate into our hearts and lives and drive it as truth as it is this morning. Father, we thank you today that you loved us and cared for us, and Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. We ask you this morning to cleanse us from those sins. We ask you this morning, Lord, to remove those things from our lives that need not be there. We ask you now to give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And all these things we pray and ask this morning in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen and amen. One day a lady was working in her house, and she looked outside, and there was some children and some of the neighborhood children, and they were gathered around her oldest son, and he was gesturing and pointing, and she didn't know what was going on, but everything looked fine, and so she went back to work. A little while later, she heard screaming and hollering and somebody hailing for help, and so she looked outside and here her oldest son, about 7 years old, had a little boy about 3 years old, and he had him over in a tub of water. And he was screaming, "Let me go," and "Let me go." And she came outside and said, "What in the world's going on?" And her son said, "We're playing church." And she said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm baptizing him." And she said, "You bet him go. He's afraid of water." And he said, "You know, he ought to thought of that before he joined my church." Well, you know, sometimes we notice that kids play church. Sometimes it's an enjoyable experience to watch as children do those kind of things this morning. You know, sometimes it's not just the children playing church, but it's the adults as well. It's amazing today that in the day and age in which you and I live, that I'm afraid there are millions of people across our world that are doing nothing more, nothing less than playing church this morning. I sometimes turn the TV on Sunday morning, and this morning I thought, well, I'm going to turn it on for a few minutes and just see what somebody's preaching. Enjoy some preaching. I went down through the channels and I found that nobody was preaching anymore. There were several religious broadcasts on, but they weren't preaching the gospel. They weren't doing anything but having panel shows and asking for this and asking for that and getting all excited about things that were not biblical this morning. I thought, boy, where in the world have we come from? We've got all the technology that we need today. And we can broadcast around the world. We can send the message of Christ into the furthest corners of this globe this morning. There's nowhere today I would dare say that a satellite does not reach. And the wonderful gospel of the Son of God could be preached into all the recesses of the world today. But we're not consumed today with the souls of men, but we're consumed with other things. And I thought, oh my. Are we really, really, really in love with Christ? Are we really this morning doing what the Lord would have us to do today? It seems to me like in a lot of places, in a lot of instances today, the gospel has been abandoned. It's something like an old house that you move out of and you don't care about anymore. And as it sits there for a period of time, it goes into deterioration. And the brush grows up around it and things begin to fall apart, and eventually it'll get to the point that you can't even tell that it's even been there. And I'm afraid this morning as I look, I'm seeing that the gospel this morning has been abandoned, because many people today, in the place of the Apostle Paul saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, they've become ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They become ashamed today of telling people about the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God today that only comes through Jesus Christ and only comes this morning to those who are willing to come unto Him. And we've become ashamed today of Jesus. We've become ashamed of the message of the Bible today. And we've abandoned that and we've become ashamed to it. And when we do see it today, it's been cheapened and watered down. And the message that we hear declared Sunday after Sunday oftentimes is no longer the message of the Bible. It's no longer the message of God. It's no longer this morning what God saith today, but it's what man saith. And we're looking this morning over and over again and wondering why our world is so troubled and so problematic today. And I dare say today we have the opportunity today to spread the Word of God. And without the Word of God today being spread, without the Word of God going out and penetrating into the hearts and lives of people today, the world will get worse and worse this morning. We find here that in our text today that Jesus is finishing up and closing and giving the conclusion to His what is normally called the Sermon on the Mount. He begins with the Beatitudes, and He begins there talking about blessed are they. And you see, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount today, He reaffirms the validity of the law of God. He reaffirms today that God's law is perfect today, and that God's Word today is always what it needs to be. And today we don't want to hear about God's law. We don't want to hear today about thou shalt not commit adultery. We don't want to hear today about thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not murder. We don't want to hear today about how that this morning when you sin against God today, you become a sinner. This morning we need to understand that when people begin to say, I want to hear and I'll get my training and my lessons from the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus in that sermon today affirmed the validity of the law of God. He said that if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. You didn't have to do the physical act. You only had to look on the television screen today and see that half-naked woman and have lust in your heart, and you've committed adultery with her, Jesus said. That's a pretty good lesson we need to learn today. And what Jesus is saying today is that the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? We need to understand today that Jesus in the sermon is reaffirming the validity of the law of God. But thank God today He reveals in that same sermon the completion of the law, for He said, I've come not to destroy but to complete. Thank God today we can become complete in Him. And today this morning transgress the law of God, thank God that we can find forgiveness today because Jesus has fulfilled the law. He's completed the law. And in Him we can become righteous and forgiven and redeemed. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is basically about today. It's not about what most people begin to try to make out of it today, but it's Jesus preaching the Word of God. But then when He gets to our text, and as He concludes this sermon, He brings it to a scathing close. Here's a hell and fire brimstone conclusion to our message, to His message this morning. He begins in our text today, as I've read it to you, a warning of false prophets. He said in verse number 15, beware of false prophets. That's a pretty good warning. Jesus puts a sign out and said, you better be on the lookout. You know, sometimes you drive up to a driveway, or you will come to a home, and there'll be a sign that says, beware of dogs. Now, you know what I do when I see that sign? I look very carefully, because that sign is there for a warning. That sign is there to make me stop and think today before I jump out of my truck and get bit and maybe killed by some vicious dog. Beware of dog. So I'll blow the horn or call on the phone to get somebody to come and make sure that a dog doesn't bite me. You see, when that sign says beware, that means there's a danger involved. And when Jesus said you better beware of false prophets, He said you better be attentive, you better be looking. There's a danger lurking somewhere. Beware of false prophets. There's a danger. And notice what Jesus calls them now. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Jesus said these false prophets are raving wolves. That is, they are this morning hungry. They're have an appetite that is never satisfied. Wolves today travel today looking for prey that they might satisfy their attitude. And you see this morning when these false prophets stop and they ascend into the pulpit and they look out over the congregation. They don't see them as people. They don't see them today as souls. You know what they see them as? Food. They see them this morning as food this morning. Brother Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 3 has this to say about them today. And you know, we always should take what the Bible says today and listen carefully to how Peter describes them in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 3. And he said, through covetousness they shall with feigned words, that is hypocritical words, words that sound correct, words this morning that get our attention, and they're eloquent speakers today. They have great oratorical skills, but they're nothing more than feigned and false, and they don't mean a thing today. Make merchandise of you. They make merchandise of you. You see, they look out today and they see people today as food. Sometimes when I see a church that is filled to capacity, I see it overflowing with thousands maybe of people sitting in the congregation. And I wonder today, as that preacher stands forth and they begin to see food in their size. You see, today they can fill his pockets with money. Oh, they can make him a rich man today. They can allow him to have private jets and million-dollar homes. And they are filling his pockets with money. And so when he looks out over this congregation, and his appetite is never satisfied and it needs to be fed constantly, he says, I've got to get more, and I've got to get more people. I've got to draw more people in so that I can put more into my pockets. They boost up his ego, and he thinks, boy, look at me. Look at who I am. I'm a big shot. I'm Mr. Somebody. I'm on all the talk shows. I'm on television. I've got books in Walmart. I'm on the New York Times bestseller list. Everybody knows my name. I'm boosting my ego. Boy, look at all these people that I minister to. They lift up his popularity. He's now so popular. Oh, man. You know what Jesus said? He's a raving wolf in sheep's clothing. And his desire is to devour. You see, Jesus says that these false prophets, these raving wolves, he said, ye shall know them by their fruits. How can you tell them? You shall know them by their fruits. What is produced? When I was in school, we took science in some of those classes, and they tried to teach us about trees, and you know, we had to get different kind of leaves off of trees, and when my children were in school, the same thing. But I don't know a lot about trees. I really don't. You can show me this leaf and that leaf, and, you know, I might be able to tell some kind of tree, but very seldom. But when I walk out into the woods and I see acorns falling off, I know that's an oak tree. That's pretty simple. I see an apple fall off, I know that's an apple tree or a peach tree or a fig tree. See, I know the tree by what kind of fruit it produces today. I even know a sweet gum tree because it's got sweet gum balls on it. That's how I know what kind of tree it is. Jesus said, let me tell you how you can know what kind of prophet it is. The fruits they produce. You see, today, when you begin to look at the fruits that is being produced, you think about it. Are lives changed? Is Jesus Christ exalted and lifted up? Is God magnified in that place? You see, this morning, we need to realize what God is saying here. He's saying these false prophets today are producing bad fruit, corrupt fruit. They're not producing the kind of fruit that the Bible said is to be produced. It amazes me that you can go and read in some of these cities where they have these great big mega churches and all of these folks are attending these churches, and yet the city is filled with sin. The city fathers today are voting in all kinds of ungodly and unbiblical laws, and nobody's saying a thing. You see, this morning the church today is to be separate. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, the Apostle Paul, as he writes those Christians, says these words. Listen to what he says beginning in verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. See, he's talking here and saying the church is to be separate. We're not to be just like the world. We're not to be this morning and to follow the standards of the world today. I'm not to be yoked together with a bunch of unbelievers. I'm not to be yoked together with a bunch of infidels. Amazes me sometimes when I read that these churches, I'm not sure they're churches, but I'll say that in a minute. I'll say that for the closing, but listen to me carefully. It amazes me when I read and they're going to have a joint service with some Muslims. And we're going to learn from each other. I hadn't got anything to do with an infidel. I'm going to be honest with you today. I'll witness to them. I'll tell them about Jesus, the mighty to save, but that's as far as it can go. Listen to me today. The church is to be separate. We're not to be like the world. We're to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. You see, the church is to take dead sinners and preach to them the gospel and make living creatures out of them. You see, people are dead in their trespasses and sins, and they need life. And the only life that there is today is in Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You're not doing that because you hate people, you're doing that because you love people. The message of God today is a message of love. And the gospel is a message of love. And the mercy and grace of God is a message of love. When you look out and you say, hey, you're a sinner, you're lost, or you're doomed, you're condemned, you're not doing it because you're gloating over that. You're doing it because you love them. And now, Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, we preach to him the gospel. We give them the word of God, the living word of God, and breathe into their heart life. And they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, when the church begins to follow the standards of the world, it's no longer the church, but it's a play acting today. It's something today that people are doing, but it's not the real church. And understand this is what Jesus said. He said, every tree that bringeth forth, verse 18, he said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. A false prophet today with a false message cannot bring forth good fruit. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. Jesus said that a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And a false prophet today preaching a false message will never produce salvation and a change of heart in the ears of the believer. Of the unbeliever today. Well, they can make them feel good about themselves. They can give them all kind of lifted up stuff. But if they understand this, they'll never save their soul. A false prophet preaching a false message doesn't bring forth good fruit. And then Jesus talks about the judgment of fools, the foolish today. You see, these people were fooled by the false prophets. He said that, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, not everybody that calls me Lord is going to heaven. Not everybody that says, oh, the good Lord's been good to me, is going to heaven. Not everybody that says, hey, the man upstairs, or a lot of other terminology that people use today, and I hear it so many times, and people talk about the Lord, but not everybody that calls him Lord, Lord, Jesus said he's going to heaven. Now, that's pretty severe thing here. See, he's talking here about judgment. You see, Jesus is the name above every name. We hear a lot of people talk about the good Lord. I don't hear a lot of people talk about Jesus anymore. You see, the way to heaven today is not through mere words. Sometimes we here, pray this prayer. And they'll have a little printed prayer, and nothing against tracts, nothing against the printed prayer, to be honest with you. Sometimes I see there are people who stand and they'll be asked to recite this prayer. But understand this. Being saved today and getting to heaven is much more than saying mere words today. You know, people say, will you accept Jesus? Oh, yes. We'll pray this prayer. I mean, when I first started pastoring, I went to this home to visit. A lady had asked me to come and see her husband, and me and another gentleman went, and I began to talk to him about the Lord. You know, and I said, do you want to be saved? Would you like to accept the Lord? And most people say, you know, I'll think about it and so forth. And he said, yeah, I believe I would. I was kind of shocked. Took me a minute to figure out what to tell him. And I told him all the right things. And he prayed, and I baptized him. But it was a show. He never changed his ways. He never really got saved. I'm not here judging. You say you're judging. No, I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I saw the fruit in his life, and it wasn't good fruit. You see, it's much more than accepting Jesus and inviting Jesus into your heart. Jesus said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent. Paul said in Acts chapter 17 that God commanded folks everywhere to repent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he talks about as he came into that city and they accepted the message as the Word of God, that they turned from the idols to serve the true and the living God. You see, this morning it means much more than just mouthing words. It means you're ready today to turn from your wicked ways. It means today you're repenting of the sin that you've committed before God. You're acknowledging that you're a sinner before a holy God. And that you have no way of salvation on your own. And you throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can, as I said, I have nothing against saying the sinner's prayer and all of those things today. But I want to tell you. I was preaching one time, and about halfway through the message, a man came running down the aisle and he dove in the altar. And he said, preacher, I got to get saved. Now I got to get saved right now. I ain't got time to wait. And I said, okay. And I said, what? Well, he said, I just want Jesus. He said, I'm fixing to die and go to hell. And I said, well, just tell Jesus. You see, that's what it is today. When the Lord gets on you, you don't have to pray some kind of printed prayer. I don't have to tell you what to pray. You just holler, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he's the mighty to save. So you're ready to turn from your wicked ways and throw your sins upon him. And you cry, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Listen to me today. Jesus said that a lot of people say mere words. But that's not going to get them an entrance into heaven. But those that doeth the will of the Father. The will of the Father is this morning that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you hear about Jesus, the mighty to save, and you're willing to turn from your sins and repent today and put yourself in the hands of the Lord. That's what salvation's all about today. When the Holy Spirit begins to convict you by the Word of God. Before they make a protest. He said, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, wait a minute, Lord, look what we've done. Look how great we were. Don't you realize, Lord, I was on television every Sunday preaching. Don't you realize, Lord, I ministered all over the world. Oh, Lord, don't you see all the great things that I've done? Look how great we were, Lord. I give money to the church. I helped down at the soup kitchen. I donated clothes to the needy. Look, Lord, all the good things that I've done. See, but let me explain that very carefully. All your righteousness is filthy rags in His sight. They're dirty, putrefying, and smelly. And Jesus answers very simple. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His. God over in the Old Testament said, Israel have I known. Now God knows who all these other nations are, but with Israel He had that intimate relationship. The Lord knows the name of every person and how many hairs they have upon their head, but He knows them that are His in a real special way. Today is not today so much. Sometimes people will say, do you know the Lord? But let me ask you this question. Does the Lord know you? Amen. That's the important thing today. Does the Lord know you? Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart. Depart. What might be the saddest words people will ever hear? When they stand before the Lord of glory and hear Him say, depart. You're out of here. Ye that work iniquity, it's all over. Boy asked his father one day, he said, Daddy, he said, I've been listening in church. And he said, well, I'm glad you have, son. He said, Daddy, I got a question. He said, are there just two places you go when you die, heaven or hell? Then his daddy said, yes, son, there's just two places you go, heaven or hell. There is no in between. Today, the message of God, the message of Jesus, is that we are sinners. We've transgressed God's law. And we're guilty before a holy God. But Jesus has come to die upon a cross that we might be forgiven and redeemed and our lives changed. And that's the only hope we have today, folks. Amen. The only hope we have is found in Jesus Christ. Right. We need today to begin to sound out that message. And I'm afraid today, instead of all over the world, as people play church, we need to be reminded over and over again that it's not a game today, but it's life or death. And people need to know about Jesus. And let's stand firm. And as Jesus said about building a house upon the rock, thank God my house is built upon the rock. Amen. The storms have come and the rains have fell. The wind is blew. But I'm still here this morning. Not because of me, but because of the foundation standeth sure. Is your foundation upon Jesus and His word? All other ground is shifting sand. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Ruth and Barbara, and come. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we've been together. We ask You to take this very simple message. Use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And everything that we do today, we ask that Jesus be lifted up and exalted. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen and amen.